Good morning, my beautiful friend. Good morning. You've heard this music before. It's something that an acquaintance of mine, David Ma, wrote and is performing called Ascension. I just think it's so beautiful. Captures something. This captures something about the human spirit, I think. This week, just like the last number of weeks that I've been in conversation with you, there's just been so much heartache, so much grief in the world. And I know for many of us, it's impossible not to be moved to the core by the things that we see happening in the world, by so much violence, and so much beauty, so many things that it's so hard to understand, the cruelty and the hardness of the heart. And then also we see so many examples of the heart opening, the compassion. I'm gonna turn this music off for a sec. I facilitated a panel for my publishing house this week that was talking, the topic was finding awe and joy in difficult times. Hold on, I might have a little sip of coffee. And I was really struck during that hour-long conversation, all the places that we went, you know, not just myself and the two authors that were there, but also all the people who were there participating and really looking at how to hold it all. I think that's really the central question in my life, probably not just this moment in time, but always. And I think for many of you. And in fact, I just remembered this, which I love how that works. I had pulled up a poem that just dropped in this morning, as often, you know, I think we get these Wayne Dyer called them spiritual breadcrumbs, where things will just drop in if we're paying attention and we follow them. They can really take us to some deeper places within ourselves. And this is a poem I'm sure I've shared with you before. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's, I think, one of, it's just a well-known poem, because you'll see why. I think it really speaks to this idea of all of the joys and sorrows of being a human being. And it's by Naomi Shihab Nye, and it's called Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. I just think this poem really captures so much of, again, I think I said this, but the human experience. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. And when she says, catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth, it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. So I'm sure this poem dropped in coffee. I'm sure it dropped in because when we were doing this panel the other day, so much of the conversation centered around a couple things. One is that there is so much sorrow and grief. You know, things have piled up over the last couple years in unimaginable ways. And meeting that seems to be a greater sense of compassion in the world. Now, that could be argued, of course. However, because we are now more a global community than ever before, it can feel as if those of us who have the energy, who have the resources, are more than ever stepping up to others, to give, to feel compassion, to want, not just to want to, but to be moved by that deep sorrow in the world. I want to believe that's true. So I want to believe that we're learning and growing as a species. I really do want to believe that. And that we're learning to open our hearts more. So again, back to this poem, I think one of the most beautiful things to me is that basically what I hear in this poem is that our own personal understanding and experiences of loss, of grief, of all kinds, right? It can be a truly personal, you know, losing someone we love, or losing a dream that we've had, or losing something tangible that's really important to us, you know, an heirloom from a great grandmother and we've lost it, or, you know, any kind of grief or loss, illness, disappointments that we've gone through, that in some ways that those deepest things in us create space for a deeper kindness, for a deeper compassion, for a deeper understanding and empathy for others. So I said there are two things, and that was one thing that really jumped out at me, was this possibility that the amount of compassion that people are feeling is growing, and that we're growing as beings to care more about others. Now, that can be argued, of course, but that's what I would really love to believe. The second thing is that, and I've said this, I think, over and over the last years, I guess this is always something that I'm saying, but that I truly believe that in the midst of all of it, that we have to find ways to feel the joys of our life and to really truly appreciate those smallest of celebrations and joys. You know, and I'm you can't see me, I'm putting smallest in quotes, because it's something like, I'm thinking my son is coming home this weekend to spend a few days with us, And instantly when I said that, I thought, you know, I mean, when I said that we have to experience the joys of our lives, to me, I think of something like sitting at a table with my son and his dad and laughing, you know, or, you know, making a phone call to my mom while he's here. I'm sure we'll do that. And that sense of all of us being connected. I'm just thinking of taking my morning walk and watching the changes in the magnolia tree on my street that I love. There's a huge, it was fully blooming, and now it's dropping its beautiful purple petals everywhere. That we have to feel those joys in our own lives, because that is what fuels us. It's what gives us strength and energy. It also, I was talking about this last night with my coaching group, that it also gives us spaciousness in our bodies. And I don't know where that left off. I was talking to an alarm went off and interrupted my recording to you. Sorry about that. And then I was sipping coffee and now here I'm back 100%. So what I was saying is, in my coaching group, we were talking about that allowing ourselves, not even allowing ourselves, but intentionally feeling as much joy as we can, as much love and celebration from our own lives, fuels us to be in a space where our bodies are more open to the creativity of life. And I know in my own experience, it's those moments of openness and gratitude that when that creativity of life comes in, I'm able to hear it and act on it. And often, of course, those are the ideas about, you know, the answer to what I walk around asking, how can I help? How can I help? And so I know in some ways I sound like a broken record, but it's important, because I think it's easy to forget that joy is not only a gift in our lives. I think it's also, it is a responsibility, because, you know, this is another thing we were talking about last night in my coaching group, that if we allow ourselves to be flattened by world events or flattened by crisis, we don't have anything to give. We're just that term flattened is actually quite good, because it's like, I imagine like a cartoon character, you know, who's been run over by a steamroller. It's like you're just this useless. You're just this useless person. I don't mean useless, that's a bad word, but I think you know what I mean. Think about the opposite of that. Think about if you go about your days, let's just say today, let's just say this one day, and you fully allow yourself to experience and appreciate the joys of your life, the simple, beautiful joys of your life, that if you're someone who has good health, or if you're someone who has good mental health, or if you're someone who has someone you love, if you have a home, you know, if you have a place to walk where you might be able to see some green things sprouting, whatever it is in your life that is a blessing, whatever it is, to really feel it. And I'm doing that right now as I'm talking to you. Right now as I'm talking to you, I am thinking, I'm so grateful that you are here on this journey with me, and that we get to find these places of meaning together, that we get to explore questions of joy and suffering. I'm just going to play a little bit more of David's beautiful song. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave you with one more thought that it's something I used to talk about a lot, and I recently ran across it again, which is the concept that sadness and celebration, grief and celebration, disappointment and celebration are two sides of the same coin. And in a lot of ways, you know, it's interesting, I hadn't thought of this consciously, but in a lot of ways, I think that is similar to the message that Naomi is offering us in her poem, Kindness, that without one, the other can't be as fully understood or felt. And I don't say that in some Pollyanna way, like, oh, without the rain, we couldn't see the sun. But I say it with the true understanding and the depth of, you know, that kind of cliche feeling, right? If it not for the deep, deep dark of night, you know, would we fully feel the day dawn? And I want you to think about that in your own life, you know, so it's like, can you allow and appreciate both sides of the coin and really consider for yourselves the way that one of them might help support the other, as in, you know, allowing yourself to really love deeply what you have in your life. And as my Zen teacher says, you know, gratitude wants to give. So how does that impact the other side of the coin of those who might be suffering deeply right now? And that might be you. I don't want to ever, you know, forget to say this to you, that it might be you who needs the help or needs the support or needs the love or needs some uplift. And if that's the case, please, you know, reach out to someone in your life who you suspect has some love and energy to spare, and make sure that you're upfront, you're honest, and you ask for some support. It's so important to let ourselves have whatever it is we have. All right. I love you so much. Thank you. As Ram Dass tells us, we are all just walking each other home. We're all just walking each other home. And I like to think of us holding hands along the way. All right. Bye-bye.